You know, I have a word for you this morning, and I'm ready to preach this morning. And if it's all right, I'm going to do that for a few minutes, and then I'm going to pray for some folks this morning, lay hands on some folks of our worship team. If you'll be ready in just a little bit, we want to lay some hands on folks as we begin this 21 days of fasting and prayer. Now, the church will be open every day, Monday through Friday, from early in the morning till 8 o'clock each night. And we're going to have prayer from 7 to 8 corporately. And then in the evenings from 7 to 8 corporately. So, and then the church will be open if you want to come at lunchtime or anytime you need to come and fast and pray or come and spend some time with the Lord. We want to encourage you to come pray over these prayer requests as these are being put in the jar and believing God that the next 21 days God is going to do something good in our life. Now, we're giving the Lord the first part of our year. We're sowing the first part of our year and believing God to be with us throughout the year and minister to us throughout the year through our time of fasting and prayer and believing God to do great things. You know, the Lord spoke something in my spirit this morning as I was on my way here, and it hit me, and I began to think about it, and I believe God is shifting globally. I believe the body of Christ is about ready to make a move. God is getting ready to make, and I had came in and I wrote it down because it was in my spirit so strong, that God is getting ready to make a transition from what has always been to what could possibly be. God is getting ready to make that transition in the body of Christ. I don't believe it's just here, but I believe it's in the church. I believe God is getting ready to transition the body of Christ from what has always been to what should be. And God's getting ready to do that in your life. Sometimes we settle for what has always been. See, when we don't pray, we settle for what has always been instead of hearing what can possibly be. When you pray and fast, God will speak to you about what could possibly be. When you begin to read the Word of God, you don't remain where you've always been, but the Word of God begins to speak to you about what can possibly be. And when you read the Word, I pray that as we read the Word and as we pray, that we hear from God what can possibly be. That the Word of God will reveal to us what can possibly be. When we are not a disciple or we do not let God train us or teach us, then what happens is we always live in a place of limitation and remain where we always be instead of walking in to what can possibly be in our life. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God is getting ready to shift us from what has always been into something that could possibly be. And so we're believing God. I believe God is getting ready to do that in the body of Christ. And God is getting ready to shift some of your lives and my life. And it's an exciting, exciting time for us. If you have your copy of God's Word, if you'll turn to the book of Ezekiel, I want to share a passage of Scripture. Now, Friday night, I preached at Heritage on Friday night, and we had a wonderful time. And I shared a word that God has given me to go into this new year, and it just would not be right if I could not share it with you. But there's some of you that were there Friday night, and I appreciate a lot of our folks came up, and I appreciated that. Some of you watched online, and it was wonderful. We appreciate your support. But I feel like this is a word for us. I believe like God has spoken to me at the beginning of this year, and I believe that this is going to be kind of a theme that comes through the year. And it's going to be a year of discipleship. It's going to be a year of raising up. It's going to be a year of God's preparation and training in our life. It's going to be a year that God begins to use folks. And what's going to happen is we're going to begin to see God do some incredible things in each of our lives. But the Lord showed me a passage of Scripture. And I saw some things about the church as a whole. Not just us, but the body of Christ. God began to reveal some things to me about the anointing of God. And in these last days, what a church that has the anointing of God looks like. What the body of Christ looks like when the anointing of God comes on it. What is a church that has the anointing? What does that look like? Here in the book of Ezekiel chapter 22, I want to read a few verses of Scripture beginning in verse 23. And this will be our text today. as we begin to look at that. I don't know how far I'm going to get this morning. I want to leave some time for us to pray for folks. So I'm just going to do my best this morning. And you just hang in there with me. The book of Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 23, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey, and have devoured the people. They have taken treasure and precious things that have made them widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths, so that I am profane among them. Her princes in the midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood and to destroy the people and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plaster them with the untempered mortar, seeing false visions and dividing lies from them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression, committed robbery, mistreated the poor and the needy, and wrongfully oppressed the stranger. And verse 30, I sought for a man among them who would make up a wall, or some of your translations say, make up a hedge, who would make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, and that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. I found no one. Let me read that again. It says, And I sought for a man among them who would make a hedge or a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land. And as I looked, I should not destroy it, but I found no one. It's a powerful verse of Scripture. Say this with me. Stand in the gap. If you find a gap, stand in it. Come on, say it louder than that. You got to believe it. If you find a gap, stand in it. Now, when I begin to look at this verse of Scripture and begin to look at this, I believe that we're truly on the edge of God moving again in this country. Matter of fact, I read something this week that in 2016, there were more Christians martyred in 2016 than the history of the world. 2016, there were more people who died for the cause of Christ. There were more slaughters of Christians in 2016 than there's been in the history of known man. Matter of fact, it's a year that Christians were slaughtered. And you say, well, that's horrendous. Matter of fact, we don't understand that because we live in a free land and we don't have that type of government here, but we've heard about it all over the world. But we have felt the Antichrist spirit that has been released on this nation towards believers. We have felt what the world is beginning now to lash out towards believers. You say, well, that's horrific. What are we going to do? Well, then when I read the Word of God, whenever there was a persecution in the book of Acts and in the New Testament, whenever there was the oppression of God's people, it was a preparation. God was getting ready to move. When they stoned Stephen, when they began to stone Stephen in the court and for his faith, and he became a martyr and mobilized the people of God, and all of a sudden revival began to break out in many of the surrounding areas because of the stoning and the persecution of Stephen, all of a sudden there was this revival that would break out. I believe in 2017, though we've seen a persecution of believers all around the world, I believe it's a prelude to the move of God. God is getting ready to breathe on the world again. I believe there's going to be a last days move of God. I believe that God has opened the window of this nation for a short time. I believe that there's favor that is going to be given to us in the next couple of years or the next few years as a church, that God is going to give us favor and an open window to evangelize and share the body of Christ. I believe that God's going to move again, and there's going to be a move of God that is going to happen and touch our country. And I believe God wants to send a move of God, and I believe it's going to happen. But we must understand one thing. I don't believe that God is going to send a harvest to the this nation or around the world if we've got churches that are sick and unhealthy. If we've got churches that cannot handle the harvest, I don't believe God is going to release a harvest of Christians into a church that can't handle, disciple, or transform those whom He sends. I don't believe that. So I don't believe the move of God is being tarried because of God. I believe God is waiting on the church. I believe God is waiting for us to get ready and be ready for a move of God. So that when the move of God comes, we be a church that's ready to handle the harvest that God is getting ready to send. So it's not a matter of waiting on God. I believe God is waiting on us. I believe God is waiting on us so that He can send a revival and a move of God. And I believe like this. Revival will come when preachers start preaching the truth like preaching the truth should be. When all of a sudden we start preaching Holy Ghost conviction. When the day comes when the Holy Ghost conviction of God begins to fall on people again. I believe when truth begins to be preached, and we decide to preach it like it should be preached, and people will begin to get saved again and come to Christ. I believe neighborhoods will get saved. Families will get saved. I believe that people who have been decided or run away as lost causes will begin to come back to God. I believe that even you will get more saved when you start, when the move of God begins to happen. But God is waiting on the church. And I believe that we see these little moves of God. And I believe the Holy Spirit is testing the church. But I'm not sure that we're really passing the test. I'm not sure that we're really passing the test. I believe the church is being challenged. Question is, could we manage a revival? We say we believe for the city, but could we handle the city? Could we handle a revival right now? Do we have people that are ready to receive the harvest of what God could do in a city if He released His resurrection power in this city? Because God's looking for a few men and a few people who will be willing to step up, and when they see a gap, to stand in it. God's looking for some people to rise up and to fill some gaps that are there in the body of Christ that need to be filled. And to rise up and say, oh, I see a gap here. I'm going to stand in it because somebody needs to bridge the gap. The Bible said that God looked all over looking for someone to stand in the gap, and He could not find any. God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap this morning. He's looking for somebody who'd be willing to stand up and be strong and say, I believe God is sending a harvest. But I'm telling you, I'm not sure if churches are passing the test. And I don't want to be like, I don't know about you. I don't want to be a church that doesn't pass the test in these last days, that disqualifies itself from being able to receive the harvest because we are not ready to receive the harvest. I begin to think about this. I don't see how God can trust us with souls of people when really we live in a day when men have become idols to their own opinion. We do. We live in a day when men have become idols to their own opinion. I'm telling you, when I got called into the ministry and I felt called into the ministry and God touched my life, I want to tell you that when I got saved, I lived in a time when you had to lay some things on the altar in order to minister the gospel. It wasn't just because I had a little certificate that says that I'm ordained. I'm telling you, there were things that I had to lay on the altar in order for God to use me. And I knew that if I was going to be used, there's some things I had to say no to. I couldn't just go say whatever I wanted to say when I wanted to say it. Huh? Y'all hearing me? I couldn't just run around with everybody I wanted to run around with and still call myself a Christian or a minister of the gospel. It was a cost and a price there was to be paid. Listen, if we're going to be people who stand in the gap, there is a price that is paid for someone to make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Now, I want to tell you that some of us would rather have our opinions heard than we would minister to people. Because we become idols to our own opinions. We feel like our ability that people need to hear what we think all the time. God's looking for some people to stand in the gap. He's looking for a church that'll make up the hedge. He's looking for some people. Listen to me. Now this is going to be a hard message this morning. I'm just going to tell you right now. So go ahead and open up your mouth and take your medicine this morning. Because listen, we're coming into a day where church will not make it for people anymore. The structure of church will not do it for people. Need something that's real and powerful in their life. Just church as usual, don't do it anymore. And we can't get away with it anymore. Pastors and leaders, listen. We need to start speaking to the church as fathers and stop speaking as motivators. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Preachers today, I don't know why. Listen, I'm talking to leaders. I'm talking to preachers. I'm talking to pastors. I'm talking to a nation. I'm talking to people who want to stand in the gap. People who want to see God send revival. People who want to see God move. We got to stop talking to people out of motivation and start speaking to people as fathers. Because what we get today is canned messages of motivation. And they're just, all we are is gathering pep rallies to tell people how good they are and how good they've been. We need some church fathers. We need some spiritual people to stand up and say, if you're going to live for God, you've got to walk a certain way. That there's a truth. This ain't a pep rally. I'm not here to always make you feel good. So we got to start speaking to the church as fathers. If we're going to be ready to receive a harvest. You know, there's a passage of Scripture in the New Testament that's an interesting passage to me. And I believe the Lord showed me that this is a type of the church in our day. Some of you are very familiar with the Scripture. And it's in Matthew chapter 25. And it's the story of the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins in the Scripture. And the Bible says that in that day, it said, the kingdom of heaven was likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom, the Scripture says. They went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with lamps. But while the bridegroom delayed, they all slumbered and slept. You hear what I'm saying? While the bridegroom delayed, they slumbered and slept. There's five wise and five foolish. Five had oil, five didn't. And while the bridegroom delayed, they slept and slumbered, waiting for the return of the bridegroom. It said, at the midnight cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom coming. And they go out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our oil lamps have all gone out. And they went out to meet the bridegroom. And the Bible says, the wise said, no, go and buy oil for yourself while out buying for the bride, while out buying, the bridegroom came. The bridegroom came, and they missed the visitation of the bridegroom. I'm here to tell you, God is going to move again in this nation. And God is going to move again. And God has given us a choice. We're either going to be a church that has oil in their lamp when He shows up, or we're going to be like the five foolish and not have oil in our lamp. It said those that didn't have oil while the bridegroom came, they went to buy some oil because the bridegroom had come on the scene. The picture here is the church like these foolish virgins trying to play catch up, because when the bridegroom showed up, they weren't ready. While we were supposed to be, listen, while they were supposed to be preparing, trimming their lamps, making sure the oil was in their lamp and full, while they waited on the bridegroom, the Bible says they slept. It's a great picture of the generation that we live in, that while Jesus has tarried, the church has just sat back and slept. We've not prepared ourselves. We've not trimmed our lamps. We have not been in preparation for when the move of God comes. Do we have oil in our lamp? Or will we be like the foolish who show up, and while the bridegroom's here, we're too busy trying to buy oil while God is moving over here? I want to tell you, there are churches that will be like that. And while we were supposed to be preparing and ready, I want to tell you something. The last decade ago of the church, some of us have not been addressing any issues, and the church has been sleeping. And so what's happened now, when the land needs the church to start speaking to it in our modern day, the church has nothing to say because we have no oil. The issues that the church faces now, they refuse to address. While we were sleeping, the world moved on. And now we live in a day when our land and our nation and the world needs answers to some of the things that are happening in our culture, but we don't have any oil. And we don't have an answer for it. But while the bridegroom delayed and slept, we need to be trimming our lamps and preparing ourselves for the harvest of God. This is a time of preparation. This is a time that we prepare ourselves so that when God does move, we be found as a church that has the anointing of God to answer the issues of our day. We don't have an answer for gay marriage, transgender, sexuality, our over-sexualized culture that we live in. We have not addressed abortion. We've not addressed injustice. We've not addressed the religious freedoms. All we have done is sat back and slumbered and slept, and we've not put oil in our lamp. And just like in the day of Ezekiel, the land is crying out for some answers, and God is looking for some people who have stood in the gap, and He could not find any. Because our lamps don't have oil. Woo! Able to meet the bridegroom. All the foolish people, they didn't see the times. They didn't bother filling up with oil, because why? They were running on their gifting. They were running on their talents. They were trying to do things their way instead of God's way. They were trying to put on shows instead of preparing people to be free. They were trying to put butts in the seat instead of put butts in the kingdom. And I want to tell you, when you focus on putting people in the seat more than you focus on getting people into the kingdom, you are an inch deep and a mile wide, and you have no oil. Because the day when people are going to come to your congregation and they're going to need answers for the problems of their life, and you're going to look back and say, well, we don't have any oil, but we've got a pizza party, but we've got a gathering here to eat cake and ice cream. There are folks that are hurting, and the church needs to have oil to answer the hour of this day. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. The church of God, God is going to move. If you don't have the wisdom to take oil with you, how are we going to speak to the land? How are we going to speak to the land if we don't have any oil? I told them on Friday night, I want to tell y'all something. Can I just be honest and real? Don't get mad at me. Please don't get mad at me. I'm just going to be honest and real. I'm tired of going to these community preacher meetings. I get invited to a couple of them a year. And we go down there and you show up. Listen, I believe God wants to move in every church in this city. I believe the churches aren't big enough to hold the harvest that God could send. I pray every church overflow. I pray for every pastor. Every week I pray for churches in this city. Why? Because I realize that God has just not gifted us, but God has sent other men in this community that love this community. I don't want to tell you, I go to these meetings and I sit down with these Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Pentecostals, and we all get together and they sit down and they have a few donuts and they have a little bit of coffee and they say, well, what are we going to do about this? And what are we going to do about that? And what are we going to do about this? And they sit and talk about how bad it is and how this is and how that is. And they talk about how bad their church is. And I'm like, I don't know where you all go to church. But where I go to church, I don't feel this way. I feel like I got the best church in the city. I don't have to come talk about how bad my church is, how bad my members are, how bad it is. They don't, and I leave there more depressed than I did when I got there. It's supposed to lift you up. I go to these meetings, we sit around, have communion, kumbaya, eat a donut, sit around and pray, and we leave there and we go back to being Baptist and go back to being Methodist and go back to being Pentecostal, and none of the issues of life have been answered. All we're worried about is being what our label is. I'm telling you, God is looking for some men who will stand in the gap, who's got some oil in their lamp to answer the day and this hour. Ah, the devil don't care what your label is. He don't run because Methodist is on your t-shirt. And we don't talk about economic issues. We don't talk about gay marriage and homosexuality because two or three of them in the meeting are gay. You think I'm kidding? Let me drag you to one of those meetings. See how well you come out of it. I got to go take 3 Tylenol and have 6 people pray over me just to get through the rest of the day. And they talk, well, we should do, how are we going to handle heroin? How are we going to handle this? Well, we should, let's just build a building and do this and hire a nurse and do all this and do that. No. You've done all of that. We need oil. We need the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that sets men free. Huh? Are you kidding me? And the reason they come together is because they wonder. Listen. God's looking for some men to stand in the gap. And the question is, does he look down on us and say, I can't find one? We don't address the social issues of our culture. We don't address the political. We don't address the racism. That's right, I said it. Y'all get mad at me. I ain't afraid of y'all. We don't address those things. We don't address the things that are happening in our culture. We don't address the oversexed mentality that's going on in our generation. While we had people that are sitting in our congregations that are full-blown addicted to pornography and give in to every little thing, and they hide it behind closed doors as well as they do their alcoholism, as well as they do their... you don't want me to preach today because I'm telling you, God's looking for some people to stand in the gap. He's not going to send a harvest to the church that does not have have any oil. You can't legislate morality. You figure we get that. And we live in a gap. There's a gap. There's a generational gap. There's a credibility gap with the church. There's a relevance gap. There's a racial gap. There's a political gap. And we've not addressed it in the church. God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap and make the... He's looking for somebody to get up and say, I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm tired of living in a world where nobody is free. God is looking for some folk who will just get down and get the anointing on their life. And when they see a gap, they stand in it and make up the hedge. Woo! All gets better. Can I go on? Can I have your permission to move on? I'm about done. We're going to pray for folks in a minute. I got to looking at this word in Hebrew. It said he's looking for a man to stand in the gap. This is an interesting word. The Hebrew language is an interesting language because it's a word descriptive language. When you read the Hebrew and homiletics in Hebrew, when you learn Hebrew, Hebrew is described because most words are played out. In other words, they're described by phrases and sentences describe certain words. In the Greek, it's different. In the Greek, one word could have seven or eight meanings to one word. But there's always a root word. There's always a root word that all the other words spring off of. That's how the Greek language is. That's why, depending on the tense that it's written in or spoken in, determines how the word is used. So if I'm speaking, if I take a word that is in Greek and is speaking in the emphatic, it means that it is a word that is emphatic. It means what it says. It says what it means. It means what it says. If it's in the present tense, it means for now. If it's in the future tense, it means coming. It means promise. It means future. If it's past tense, it means that it's in the past. And so, depending on the tense of a word. But when I got to looking at this word stand, what does it mean to stand? What does it mean to stand in the gap and make up the hedge? I believe that in the last days, that churches that have oil, that have anointing, there will be three things that define who they are. This word stand is interesting. There are three anointings we're going to release into this house today. I'm just going to release it into this house. And it's my prayer that these anointings will come upon us because we want to be a church that stands in the gap and make up the hedge. God's looking for a man, someone in Madison, a church, a group of people that'll say, we'll stand in the gap, God. Let it fall upon us. We'll stand where no one else is standing. We'll deal with the homosexual. We'll deal with the addict. We'll deal with the broken marriage. We'll deal with the young people who have no place to go. We'll stand in the gap to a generation that is looking for hope. We'll trim our oil lamp. We'll trim our oil. We'll be trained. We'll allow God to speak to us. And when they come in, our lamps will be trimmed. And there'll be plenty of oil. So when they come in, they don't have to wonder what to do. We won't be a church that'll say, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know. Go see a therapist. That's what we say. I had someone in my office a few weeks ago. I said, They said, they didn't even go to my church. I said, does your pastor know you're here? They said, no. I said, well, you better tell him or I will. And I said, well, I went to him, but all he told me to do was go see a therapist. We are the therapist! Listen, I don't discount none of that. But the anointing can do what man cannot do. Huh? The anointing can take a girl who's been addicted for 8 years, sit in a chapel and read 4 verses of scripture, and all of a sudden her life be transformed by just reading the phrase, he's healed all my diseases. Woo! I'm calming down. I said to myself, I don't want to sweat today. Man, I'm not going to have to. I got to get to these. Hallelujah. Oil. Say oil. Oil. Say oil. Oil. Come on, we need an anointing. We need an anointing. Let me tell you, you don't need a preacher. Oh my. I want to tell you, I've got about as much as education is going to do me. It ain't going to do me any good to go back to school anymore. How do we address this culture? What does a church with anointing oil look like? What is a church that's ready? And because the bridegroom tarries, are we preparing? Number one, I'm going to go quickly because I want to get to the last one. First of all, a church that is anointed and has its oil is a church of reconciliation. Say reconciliation. Reconciliation. Reconciliation, let me read to you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. And I'm going to go quickly. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Did you hear me? It said when we were enemies to God, we were reconciled to His Son. It did not say God was an enemy to us. It said when we were enemies to God, we were reconciled to God through His Son. In other words, the hostility was not on God's part, but it was on our part. And I want to tell you, every day I see people get up and begin to mock the things of God. The world shoves its fist at God and dares God to challenge it and dares God to do this and dare God to do that. But yet while we were sinners, He made His love toward us that while we were sinners, God sent His Son to free us. There was a day when you were hostile towards the things of God, but then through the death of His Son, much more, say much more. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We were reconciled to God. We were reconciled to Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. This is what it said. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Say the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What are you? An ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ, it says. Being ambassadors for Christ, as though God pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Did you hear that? It says ambassadors, as we employ those that through us, those can be reconciled to Christ. We are a reconciler. And I want to tell you, in these last days, this last hour, if God's going to use a church that's got oil, we've got to learn how to be reconcilers to God. We got to learn how to be ambassadors. We got to learn how to bridge a gap between those that are lost and those to God. We got to be a gap stander. We got to stand between the gap of those who don't know Christ and be a representative of God in a world that is hurting and lost, and build the bridge and say, through us, we share Christ and bring others to Jesus as ambassadors for God. You are an ambassador. You are not a church member. You are not just a church member. You hearing me? You're an ambassador. You're a representation of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we're ambassadors, if the church is such ambassadors, and we are to be the bridge between the world and God, why do we live in such a divided nation? Somebody answer that for me. If the church is doing what it should be doing, why do we live in such a divided nation? See, y'all don't like that. Why do we live in such a divided church? Why do we live in such a divided church world? Because we don't have any oil. Because we don't have any oil. We've been sleeping and we've run out of oil. We don't know how to reconcile people back to God. We've lost the ability to reconcile. Listen, what did it say in Ezekiel? It said, what did he say the problem was? The prophets, the priests, the princes, and the people. It said everyone in the nation was a problem. That's why sin ran rampant. That's why, because there was nobody to stand in the gap. But in these last days, God's looking for a church, somebody who can reconcile people back to God. Okay, just me. Hallelujah. Say, when you see a gap, Stand in it. I want to tell you, we live in a world of misunderstanding. We live in a world of bias. We live in a world of prejudices. Who's going to stand in the gap? Let me tell you something. We've lost even the ability to reason and talk to each other. You hear what I'm saying? I'm so tired. Oh, my Lord. We can't even talk to one another anymore without having some kind of mean spirit attached to everything we've got to say. You know why? Because we're more important about people to hear what our opinion is than we are about bridging the gap and becoming the bridge makers and reconcilers. Let me tell you, the last days, the church that's going to make it is going to be the church that can reconcile families back together. That can sit a mom and dad down that have a disagreement and love them back in the right relationship. Anointing on the church that can reconcile families back together and children back to their parents. That can reconcile people back to God who've walked away from God and cannot find the bridge back to God. God's looking for some people who will reconcile people back to Him. He's looking for someone to stand in a gap. Are you a reconciler or are you a divider? Huh? You a reconciler or a divider? You know, it's easy to rally people around fear than it is love. You hear what I'm saying? You know why? Because in order to reconcile people, it takes oil. It takes oil to reconcile people. It takes oil to reconcile people. It takes oil. It's easy. It's easy. It's easy to wash your hands of people. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus never gave up on me, and He ain't ever going to give up on anyone else. And I want to tell you, there's some crazy people walking around the world, and we look at some of them and say, they have no chance, they have no chance. I've seen a bunch of them. I've pastored a few. Let me tell you, I've had people counsel in front of me and run back out and do the same thing over and over and over and over again. Don't listen to one thing you got to say. They're going to do what they want to do because they want to do it. But I can't stop having oil. I can't stop giving them hope. I can't stop standing for them. I can't stop being there when they're in court. I can't stop being there when they're overdosed. I can't stop being there. Why? Because we've got to be a church that reconciles people back to God. And to do that, it takes some sweat, sweethearts. Oh. Number two. A church with anointing has to be restorers. The word stand not only means to reconcile, but its root word means to restore. In other words, God was looking for someone to stand in the gap, to somebody to restore, to restore, to restore, to restore. Can I be honest with you this morning, or do you want me to give you the religious side of the message? Let's just open it all. Can we just go ahead and open it all up? You know what aggravates me about the church? I'll just tell you what aggravates me. I'm just going to tell you what aggravates me. What aggravates me is that every army in the world has a medevac for everybody that gets wounded. But the church, we just leave our wounded laying on the ground to die. Watching a football game the other day, they got a whole place on the sideline for those that have been in battle in the midst of the game. And when they get hurt, they bring them over to the place where they can be mended. Why? Because they're valuable to that team. They're valuable to the team. I'm here to tell you the church needs to start learning how to reconcile people back to God. I want to tell you, listen, we don't know how to deal with the wounded in our midst. People fail and fall off from God, make mistakes from God. We're there to kick them off the cliff. We're there to make sure they fall further than what they already fell. You say, well, they deserved it. They shouldn't have done it. I know they deserved it. They're crazy. The prodigal son deserved it. The woman caught in adultery deserved it. But somebody's got to learn to be able to restore those things that have been lost and those things that have been separated. And a church that's got oil knows how to take wounded believers and bring them back into the body and restore them back again to right relationship with God. We got to be restorers. We got to be restorers. I look at the big buzzword today. We're all talking about grace. Grace, Joe, grace, grace. Oh, it's all grace. Let me tell you what some folks think grace is. Some folks think grace is that you can get up and go do whatever you want to do and be like whatever you want to be like and live like however you want to live and expect there not to be some kind of consequence that comes with the decision that you make. And I want to tell you, when churches start preaching truth, people start running. Why? They got itching ears. They're looking for somebody to preach something to them instead of the truth. I studied in the Word and I thought, man, Lord, I've looked at grace in a lot of different ways in my life, but I know this about grace. Grace is not a passive word. It's not God turning and looking the other way while you go do what you want to do. That's not grace. Grace is God rolling up His sleeves and coming in after you once you have made a mistake. If grace is God still giving you a pathway back to right relationship with God. When you were crazy and messed up, God made a way. When you walked away from Him, He made a way. When you backslid, He made a way. When you didn't make decisions that were right, He made a way. Why? Because God always goes after the sheep that are lost. He's a restorer of the breach. The Bible said David went after the lion and the bear. He said he fought the lion and the bear for the sheep that wandered. David could have said, well, one sheep up, one sheep down. The bear's got a meal. That's what we do. Oh, he was a good guy. He could have been a good Christian. Why'd she stop coming to church? Well, her husband, he had an... Oh, okay, let's not talk about it. Let's just leave them alone. No. I'm telling you, in this last days, there's got to be a boldness in the church. I want to tell you, as long as I got oil, I'm going after people. As long as I got oil, I'm going to try to bring back and restore everyone. No one is without hope. Until you stop breathing and go on to be with the Lord, God can bring you back to right relationship. We got to live like that. God's looking for someone to stand in the gap and be a restoration to people. Ha ha. Ha ha. The theology of restoration. Just say, I'm going to get what the devil has taken as long as I've got oil. Let me tell you, if it was your son, you'd want somebody going after him. If it was your daughter, you'd want somebody going after him. If it was your husband, you'd want somebody praying for him. If it was your relative, you'd want somebody to stand in the gap for him. Somebody visit him. Someone go after him. Let me tell you, I've made up my mind. I've not been the best at it, but I'm telling you, I'm going to hunt people down, and I'm going to find them. They're going to get so tired of looking at me, they're going to run when they see me coming. Why? Because somebody has to be a restorer and bring people back. God is a restorer. Listen, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Can I give you some Bible? We are in church. I'm going to give you some Bible. Here's the scripture. He that has been overtaken with a fault, you who are spiritual, restore one in a spirit of meekness, lest ye also be tempted. You hear what I'm saying? We're to restore one with a spirit of meekness, lest also we ourselves be tempted. You know, back in the day when they had arrows and they fought in battle with arrows, one of the words for sin, there's two words for sin that means the shooting of an arrow missing. One is, it means to miss the mark. It means someone who shoots an arrow and misses the mark. The other is the word trespass. And it's interesting because in order for an arrow to miss the mark, a lot of times, in those days, arrows would become crooked and they couldn't be used for shooting. An archer would be off and there was a way that an arrow would be corrected. What they would do is they'd take that arrow and they'd submerge that arrow in oil. And they'd take that oil, Pastor Jim, or that arrow, and they'd dunk it in oil. And they'd wait for the softening of that arrow. And while the oil was softening that arrow, they would straighten that arrow out. And then they take the arrow out of that oil and they put it down into a structure that was built. And they would nail it into that structure that straightened that arrow out. And the determination of how long that arrow stayed there determined how that arrow responded to the saturation of that oil. And soon as that oil would dry on that arrow, the composition of that oil on that arrow would make the arrow stronger than it was before it got submerged in oil. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? You're going to get this in a minute. You're going to get this in a minute. You're going to get this in a minute. And they'd take that arrow out, and that arrow would shoot straighter than it's ever shot. Why? Because the oil had been saturated into that arrow. It changed the hardness of that arrow. That arrow's stronger than it's ever been. It's straighter than it's ever been. Why? Because it was submerged in oil, and it was put in a structure that straightened it out. How do we restore people? We bring those that have been... Listen, you know what the word iniquity in the Scripture means? It means to be bent. It means to be bent. That's what iniquity means. You and I came into this world bent. And through the reconciliation and restoration of Jesus, He straightened us out. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. How many's thankful you're now? But to restore that arrow needed to be put in a structure. I want to tell you, when people come back to God, they need to be put back in a structure. They need to get back in the body of Christ. They need to be retrained and prayed over, and people encourage them. They need to be in the Word of God and need among people that are going to love them. Why? And they stay there. How long do they stay there? As long as it takes for the oil to saturate where they can be bended back straight. Which means we've got to have some oil around here to start dipping some folks in. If we're ever going to straighten anybody else, we've got to have some oil. Whew, my God. I'm wore out. My God. Oh, my. Praise team, come. I didn't even get to the best part. The final thing, the final word, and I don't have time to get into it. The word stand means to intercede. The Bible said that Job, while his sons and daughters would go out and engage in sin and do what wasn't right, the Bible said that in verse 5 of chapter 1, Job would get up and he'd go make sacrifice for his children continually. He interceded to God for them. He stood in the gap. He was a representative of God. He stood before God for them. Whew. Y'all know how powerful that is. And the Bible said he did it continually. He continually did it. He continually stood in the gap. He continually did it. The Bible said plague came upon the children of Israel. And as plague was sweeping over and people were dying, as that plague came, the Bible said Aaron ran into the temple, into the tabernacle, and he got an incense. He got the incense off the altar, and he ran out between the people and those who were dying and those that were living. And it said he lifted up that incense, and it said he stood between those that were dead and those that were living. And the plague stopped because Aaron interceded for the people of God. To stand means to intercede. Means to intercede. It means to intercede. It means to intercede. Stand with me if you would. No greater example in the Word of God of restoration than the tribe of Levi. I want you all to hear me. I know it's 5 after, or right at 12. We're fasting anyway. I'm going to force it on you if you ain't going to do it anyway. The tribe of Levi is the greatest story of restoration in all the Old Testament. Because in Genesis 49, Levi was cursed. Him and Simeon were cursed. Him and Simeon were cursed. Why were they cursed? Because their sister Diana had been raped by the king of Shechem. And Simeon the Levite had gone down and slaughtered all of the Shechemites and took a sword and slew them all. And what they did was they took judgment into their own hands and didn't let God bring judgment, but they took judgment upon themselves. Let me tell you something about doing things that God doesn't tell you to do. Sometimes we put our hands on things God has not told us to put our hands on. In other words, don't be a nosy body. That's free. But the Levites didn't get any land or any territory, and neither did Simeon. They were left out of the inheritance. But when the children of Israel was in the desert and Moses had gone up on the mountain and was gone too long, you remember they took all the gold and made a golden calf. And it says when Moses came back from the mountain, God's displeasure toward the people, God told him to go down and slay all those who build the golden calf. And Moses stood up and gave them one opportunity. And this is what he said. All of those who are with me are with God. Stand with me and all those who are not. And the Bible said the Levites stood with Moses in the day and drew their sword and fought with Moses. And because of that, God gave them back and allowed them to be the Levitical priests, the Levites, gave them back a place of prominence. It's a great story of restoration. But the Levites were interesting because they were in charge of what was called the City of Refuges. The City of Refuges were six cities that people could run to if there was ever disagreement. And the Levites were in charge of those cities. They were people who stood in the gap for those who had done wrong. Because say, I went and I stole from Rick, and I stole his Maserati, and wrecked it, and he started looking for me. He would become what is called the Avenger of the Blood. He had a right to kill me. He probably would. But that means he has a right to kill me. But the only place I could find refuge would be the City of Refuges. And there were six of them. And the Levites were in charge of those cities. So I could run to the City of Refuge. And as long as I was in the City of Refuge, Rick couldn't touch me. I could go, and he couldn't touch me. Why? Because I was under the covering of the City of Refuge. And I want to tell you, when you were born into this world, the devil had a right to your life. Because you were born into sin. And the devil had a right to us. But when we got saved and come under the blood of Jesus, we walked into the City of Refuge. And the Avenger of the Blood has no right to your life and to my life. Hallelujah! Aren't you thankful? But it wasn't just that he did. Listen, it's not that the devil doesn't have a right to your life. That blood has to be avenged. Listen, the devil won the right to you. It had to be avenged. So the only thing that could break people out of the City of Refuge would be what was called a kinsman redeemer. He had to be a relative who not only could pay your debt, but was someone who didn't owe anyone else, someone who had the right to come lay claim to your life and would be able to pay your debt for you so that you could leave the City of Refuge. I want to tell you, Jesus came and He paid your debt and my debt, and He became our kinsman redeemer. And He became for us what we could not be for ourselves. And guess what? Your debt was paid, and the Avenger of the Blood does not have a right to you. Hallelujah! But an anointing on the church that's interceders. My prayer is that this church becomes a place like the city of refuge. The city of refuge, the gates were never locked. Whoever so will can come. Can I announce to you that whoever wants to walk through these doors has the right to walk through these doors. These doors are never shut. We never keep anyone out. Whosoever will can come. Whew. But to be a city of refuge. To stand in the gap. If you're here this morning, and you say, Pastor, I want to stand in the gap. Just step out of where you are and come down to this aisle. Just come down here to the front. I want to stand in the gap. I want to stand in the gap. I want to stand in the gap. I know I'm taking a few minutes this morning. I know you got to take your pill. God said, I looked and searched for a man who would stand in the gap, and I found none. Come on, come up forward. Come on, move up here. Let all these folks get around the altar. Guess what you are this morning? Guess what you are this morning? You're a gap stander. Say, I'm a gap stander. Say, I'm a gap stander. I'm a gap stander. All right, now look around. Look around. Look around. You see them? See them? Come on, remember their faces. Remember their faces. Look, David, look. Look at them. You see them? You know why? Because when I need somebody to go to the streets, I need a gap stander. When I need someone to pass out clothing to the needy, I need a gap stander. When somebody's hungry, I need a gap stander. When someone's in the hospital, I need some gap standers. When I need some ushers, I need some gap standers. When I need some people to train and teach and preach, I need some gap standers. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me this morning. You just enlisted in an army you didn't know you just became a part of. I'm just going to throw it all out there. You can get mad. Go ahead and leave mad. I'm not going to have certain things and four people show up. That's not a gap church. That's not somebody who stands in the gap. Gap standers comes to wedding showers and baby showers. Y'all hearing me? Gap standers comes to men's meetings. Gap standers come on Thursday night. You don't even want me to start. Gap standers pray. Gap standers read the Word of God. Gap standers give. Gap standers. Woo! Oh, look at some of y'all. You can sit down if you want. I'm giving you your shot. But guess what? As we tarry waiting for the bridegroom, we're going to trim our lamps. We're going to fill it up with oil. We're going to have some oil so that when those in our culture have been wounded and come in looking for oil, we're not going to be out buying oil. We're going to have it here in the house. Why? We're gap standers. We are reconcilers. Say reconcilers. We're restoration. We're interceders. We stand in the gap. Now lift your hands. I'm going to deputize you in the Holy Ghost. And it ain't going to be like Barney Fife. You don't just get one bullet. You hear me? You don't just get one bullet. You get the whole thing. You get a whole thing of oil. You get a whole thing of oil. Use it. Use it. Ha ha ha. Woo. I feel the anointing in this place right now. Whew. We're gap standers. We're gap standers. That means if somebody has to be prayed for, you don't bring them and say, come, let me introduce you to my pastor. No, you get your oil out and you pray for them. Because you're a gap stander. Someone says, I'm doing this. Oh, let me call Ron Greaves and let him get some guys to come over and help you. No, that means they came to you. Do you have oil or do you not? See, y'all, I'm pushing on you. I'm not going to let you get away with what you've gotten away with. I ain't tickling your ears. This ain't an itching ear church. This is an oil pouring, Holy Ghost saturated, straightening arrow out church with people that love God and will serve Him. We ain't going to just talk the talk. We're going to walk it. Every hand lifted. Jesus, let your anointing fall on us all. Let us all be gap standers. Lord, let us all, in a moment that you need us to stand, we shall stand, even if we stand alone. We'll stand for righteousness. We'll stand for peace. We'll stand for holiness and purity. We'll stand in the gap for those that have needs. We'll stand in the gap for those that are hurting. We will be a city of refuge. We will be gap standers. We will heal the brokenhearted, bind up the wounded. We will pick them up off the road and give them back, put them back on their horse, send them back on their way. We'll restore them, make them better than they were before, give them hope where there was no hope. We are people that are carrying the oil of the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Jesus, let your oil flow. These are gap standers, gap standers, gap standers, gap standers, gap standers, gap standers. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now just lift up your voice and begin to pray. Say, God, make me a gap stander. Make me a reconciler. Make me a reconciler, God. Make me a restorer. Lord, make me an intercessor. Make me an intercessor. Let me stand between the living and the dead and be a source. Let me stop the plague of sin in people's lives. Let me be a gap stander. Come on, pray, church. Pray for this city. Pray for the lost. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for those who need God. Pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Pray, pray, pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in closing, I want to do something. If you're between the age of 19 to 35. If you're not 19 or 35, I want you to take a couple steps back. Don't go back to your seat because you're a gap stander. Gap standers don't go back to their seat. I promise you, you can take your pill in a minute. 18 to 35, I want you to stretch out across the front here, 18 to 35. High school graduates, come on. Those of you that are over 35 and lost, those of you that lost count, stretch your hands out towards these. Whew. Now, these that are down here are millennials, some of them. The Lord told me that in 2017, there's going to be a rush of 18 to 35-year-olds that come into this church. 2017, our harvest would be those that are 18 to 35. But we've got to have oil. There's got to be some that stand in the gap, and these are going to be those who stand in the gap. I want to tell you, everyone that's in this line have an anointing on their life. And I'm going to lay hands on them. And we're going to release a new anointing into these 18 to 35-year-olds. And there's going to be a harvest that comes into this church that is going to, listen, these young people are going to overtake you. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of it. It's the next generation. It's the beginning of the harvest. And I want to tell you, if you got 18 to 35-year-olds at home, you just pray for them. I want you to lift your hands while I'm praying and pray for them. Because some of them are going to be part of the harvest that comes in 2017. I want to tell you, I'm going to do this again next year. And I'm telling you, there's going to be triple or quadruple what's standing here right now. Every one of them, there's a uniqueness and an anointing on each of them. And if you know these that are standing here like I do, nobody loves them more than I do, and there's an anointing. Doesn't mean there's not an anointing on you. You already got your oil. Whew. There's a fire that's coming on these young people. And it's a fire. It's a fire. I'm here to tell y'all more than farmers. God's just teaching you the land. He's teaching you what seed do and what a seed is for. How a seed grows and develops, because you're going to develop people. You're going to train people. You're going to lead people into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're going to lead them into new life. Why? Because you understand the purpose of a seed. I'm telling you, it's more than about corn and beans, baby. It's about the kingdom of God. There's an anointing that's coming on both of you. That fire of the Holy Ghost. Shh. Ha! A new season, Savannah. Shh. Fire! Going to break off you. There's an anointing on this couple. Listen to me. If y'all wait on God and let God work, don't be impatient with Him. If you'll let God work, there's going to be an anointing to come on your life. It's already on you. Just take it. Lord, you've been in more services than most people in this church, but there's a new anointing coming on. You're learning. God's going to, listen, if you'll be obedient, God will expedite your revelation. You'll learn more in half the time than it takes most people, because you're willing to be submitted. You're willing to love the Word of God. You're willing to be submerged in prayer. You're more willing to be used of God. Ernie, there's an anointing on you, son. There's an anointing on you to do great things. You can't even understand it. You feel it, but you can't put it in words. God's about ready to put it in words in 2017. Next year, you're going to know what the purpose of God is in your life. Fire in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, y'all sitting, listen, you two are sitting around waiting for God to do something. Like you're like waiting, going, okay, God, whatever you want. No. Listen, you gotta take your oil and use it. You gotta go to the highways and the byways. You gotta go to your family. You gotta take the anointing that's on you and go where God tells you to go and do what God tells you to do. You can't wait for God to bring it to you. You've got to go get it. You guys are restorers. There's the anointing of restoration that is on both of you. There's a healing that's going on in you this year, Montana. It's a healing. It's a generational thing. There's a forgiveness that God has given you toward people that have wounded your life. I've seen it happen. And because of that, it's given you a compassion toward others. There's a great healing that's taking place in 2017. Now you're going from being healed to these hands being the healer. When you lay hands on those who are wounded and bitter and hurt by generational curses and family dysfunction, you're going to lay hands on dysfunctional people, and anointing is going to set them free. There's a fresh touch coming on you, and the fire of God is on you. Fire! Shoo! Shoo! Ha ha! Ha ha! Woo! Ha ha! Yeah. Friday night, Caitlin was at church and she got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because two of her friends had oil. And they leaned over and said, "Would you like the baptism of the Holy Ghost?" And Montana and Savannah laid hands on her and she got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They didn't bring her to my office. They didn't bring her to my office. They got their oil out and used the oil that God had given them. Caitlin, this is a divine moment in your life. God sent you to this church. The first day you walked in, I saw you. I think I even said something to you. God sent you here. It's because He's preparing you for something much greater than being a human resource woman. You got resource, girl, but it ain't about doing payroll, and it ain't about finding people's insurance. You got resources, and it comes from a well that never runs dry. There's a resource you have that as long as you keep in your lamp, girl, it'll never run out. There's an anointing coming on you for your generation. There's a fire that's coming on you. Your hands will feel it. Your feet will feel it. Fire! Shubabakaraba. Hey, hallelujah. Now, Jenny, I want you to walk. And I want you to walk right up through here, up and back. And as you walk, I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. And lift your hands. And as you go, listen to me. It's already on you, see? As you go, hear me. As you go, listen, there's always been a sensitivity to the anointing of God on you. Matter of fact, most people have even measured church services by how you have responded to the Holy Ghost. Well, Jenny got touched. We know we had a good service. Right? You ever heard that? Maybe. I know it. Because I know when the Holy Ghost is moving, it hits you. Because you're sensitive to the Holy Ghost. That's not something that you inherit. It's something you catch. There's an anointing on you. God's put that there. That's the grace of God. But let me tell you what's going to happen. As you walk down through here and you lift your hands up and you walk down towards Michelle, and as you pray in tongues, I want you to pray in the Spirit as you walk. And as you walk, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you. And a fresh anointing. Let me tell you what it's going to be like. Y'all got a second? Is it all right? You got to take your pill. Go take your pill. Come back. Because God's doing deep, and He's doing deep this morning. We're going deep this morning. We're going after the lion and the bear and bringing the sheep back. But here's what's going to happen. It's like a car wash. And it's like, it's not that your car's dirty. It's just that when you wash the car in the car wash, the inside, you clean, God, you don't, the inside doesn't get clean as you go through the car wash. So it's not that the inside's dirty. It's just that the world sometimes tries to slow splatter on us. And dirt, and mind, and touch our mind, touch our body, antagonize us, frustrate us. Life frustrates us, and we get mud on the side of our car, and snow, and salt, and rain. And all of a sudden, that beautiful car that we bought in Shine, it's got a little bit of dirt on it. And we just got to go through the Holy Ghost car wash and let God wash it off. And as you walk, you're walking through a Holy Ghost car wash. You're going to walk down and the anointing is going to come on you. And it's going to be a fresh anointing for you. And by the time you get to Michelle and turn around and come back, by the time you get here, it's going to be a new you. Hallelujah. For 2017. Now just lift your hands. And just begin to walk and pray in the tongues. That's it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, reach your hands out to her. Yeah, yeah. The car's getting washed. The car's getting washed. Come on. Come on, pray. Come on, pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Yeah! 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 Woo! Yeah! Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! Yes! Yes! Ha ha ha! Ha ha ha! Yeah! 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 Woo! Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah, Father! Cheryl, here's what I see. I see you holding on to some things. It's not bad things. Because many times in your life, you had to walk through places of insecurity and fear and worry. You have a tendency to hold on to things because you want to make sure that those things you're holding on to don't hurt like you hurt. So you have a tendency to want to hold and protect. It's your nature. God's built that in you. That's a God thing. That's a God thing. But there comes a moment when there's certain things in our life we have to release. Because it's much better in God's hands than it is in our hands. And as you do that, there's going to be a freedom that comes on your life. And a liberty, a new anointing. That's going to come on you. And you're not going to look at people through the prism of what you used to worry about, or what used to stress you out, or what used to bring insecurity to your life. But now you're going to look through the prism of freedom and liberty. And you're going to look at children, and you're going to see them free, and you'll lay hands on them and they'll be free. You'll pray for them and they'll be free. And when they get around you, they're going to be drawn to you. And each time you hug them and you let them go, you're releasing them into the hands of God. So just let go. Take your hands like this and grip them like this. Now just let go. Shoo! Shoo! Ha! Ha ha. Oh girl, God's not forgot about you. You're right where He wants you. God's anointing's not left you. It's just a shelf. Sometimes God puts us on a shelf. Even good canned tomatoes need to set up a while. You're just curating. You're curating for potency. As you curate, the flavor of God is going to begin as being mixed, curated, fermented. And pretty soon, God's going to pull you off the shelf and He's going to open you up. And when He opens you up, all that preparation time, all that time alone with God, all that time on the shelf, all that time wondering what my purpose is, all of a sudden, things are going to come out of you you didn't know was in you, but it was being put in you all the time. You just didn't know it. Father, fire, fire. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all lift your hands. Ha ha. Jonathan, people have tried to label you all your life. They've always tried to stamp some label on you. Well, he's this way or he's that way. This is who he is. That's what he was. That's what he'll, you know, there's just been people just throwing labels at you. Because they haven't understood the creativity that's in you. There's an extreme level of creativity that sometimes can push people away because they really don't understand that what God got's for you and for you to do is God's going to send you into some really dark, deep places. And you've got to have what God's put in you in order to go through where you're going to deliver people from. And the normal person won't understand that. You've known it for a long time. You may not have been able to put words to it, but God has wasted no experience in your life. And where God's going to take you now is far, far beyond what you ever could imagine Him to do. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to reach into some dark places and you're going to pull some weird people out of some crazy places. But weird people need to be discipled too. You understand? I was weird. You know what I'm talking about. You're going to meet some weird people. But you know what? They're going to be the people that only you will love. Only God has given you an anointing to reach in and go get them and go get them in places and go pull them out of those places. And people are going to say, how can Christians come out of that lifestyle? How can Christians come out of that place? There's an anointing on you both to do that. There's a grace that's on your wife. She has grace. She's even put up with you through some things. And she may have even said in her head, he's weird. But it's all right. You're the hammer. You're the oil. You break it up. You throw oil on it. You pull them out. You nurture. You speak truth. You love. And God's going to use you together. Because it's what this generation needs. It needs a balance. And you're going to disciple people and raise them up to be strong people in God. That's what's going to happen. Don't think that your house may not be full of a bunch of weird old people that you're going to be discipling. Have spikes coming out of the nose and like weird stuff and like, you know, what kind of meeting you having over there with all them people coming in there and people that come out of crazy stuff, and you're going to sit and you're going to open the Word of God and it's going to be healing to them. It's going to break up all that brokenness and hardness and rockness in their life. And then you're going to come along and through the grace and love and mercy and nurturing and nurture them back into right relationship. And together you're going to be a team. God put you together to be a team. You're a team. Lift your hands. Father, this day, fire! Gentle. That's the gentleness of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I got some oil. Hallelujah. Lift your hands, Father. We thank you for this morning and the anointing of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for freedom and liberty that you bring to our lives. Lord, we're going to be gap standers. We're going to make up the hedge and make a difference in our generation. Now as we leave today, God, and we begin this fast and pray, we pray, God, that miracles, signs, and wonders shall follow us. And anointing of God shall be upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Would you give God a great big clap offering? Come on, give Him some praise. Come on, give Him some praise. Hallelujah. You can bring your cards up.